From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Tuesday, July 5th. Here are today's headlines.
Two new COVID strains called BA4 and BA5 are spreading quickly in the Northeast. Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine says the new variants account for more than half of all COVID cases in Vermont and are expected to continue to grow in the coming weeks. Levine says the evolution of different strains makes it almost inevitable that the most infectious ones are the types that survive and flourish.
Every time we talk about a new strain, we always talk about its transmissibility, how infectious it is. And we don't have a number on this one, but the reality is it becomes the dominant strain because it is more transmissible.
Levine says he expects a booster vaccine formulated to deal with the new strains will be available by the fall.
More healthcare coverage options are available to Vermonters this month, thanks to changes in Vermont's Medicaid program. A new agreement with the federal government means anyone can access mental health treatment for serious illness, regardless of income level. Low-income seniors will have wider access to affordable prescription drugs, and more people will qualify for coverage for addiction treatment. Ashley Berliner is with the Vermont Agency of Human Services. She says that includes people who might have a commercial plan that doesn't cover their treatment.
So we're actually the first state in the country to be able to use Medicaid funds to expand access to substance use disorder services for individuals who are above Medicaid limits.
And the state has more discretion in spending Medicaid funds for things like workforce recruitment, investments in IT, and housing support for certain vulnerable Vermonters.
A McDonald's franchise will pay $1.6 million for failing to protect employees from sexual harassment by a manager at a store in Randolph. The settlement was announced last week by the Vermont Attorney General's Office and the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. In addition to the payment, the franchise company, Coughlin Inc., is required to substantially reform its business practices. The state says the agreement is one of the largest reported employment discrimination settlements in Vermont.
Coming up, analyzing the data on gun deaths in the state. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
More Vermonters died from gunshot wounds in 2021 than any other year in the past decade, according to a recent analysis by Vermont Public. The vast majority of those deaths were suicides. That's not a new trend. In 2017, Vermont Public started collecting records on gun deaths in the state, and according to that database, 88% of all gun fatalities in the past decade were from suicide. Vermont's suicide rate is about 21 per 100,000. That's higher than the national average, which is 14 per 100,000. So what's being done to address the problem? Our colleague Liam Elder Connors has been reporting on this, and he spoke about it with Mitch Wortlieb.
You spoke with one woman whose son died by suicide in 2020. What can you tell us about that sad situation?
Yeah. So Emily Hackett's 12-year-old son, Ryan, good haircuts. He also really liked his sneakers. He even taught his friends how to clean and take care of them so they'd still be really, you know, fresh and new looking. And his mom says he was a really good older brother. He made his younger siblings waffles in the morning.
He, you know, would get up in the morning and make them waffles and, you know, in the toaster, the frozen waffles, and he'd make sure they all got their waffles. And he just was a really great person who just had an old soul. He felt deeply.
And unfortunately, Ryan died in September 2020 by suicide by firearm. And he was one of 233 gun deaths in Vermont over the past 3 years. And like you mentioned in the introduction, most of those were suicides.
You looked at a lot of data related to this. What were some of the big takeaways?
Yeah, like we've said, the vast majority of gun deaths in Vermont are suicides. I think that's a really important point to emphasize. And it's not just by a little bit. It's in the 88 to 90% range most years. And in 2021, we actually saw the most suicide by firearms that we've seen in the past decade, according to the database we've put together. There were 75 suicides by firearm in 2021, according to our records. A decade's worth of gun death data follow similar unfortunate trends. There were 801 gun deaths, 88% of those deaths were suicides, and most of the suicide deaths were men, and a quarter served in the U.S. Armed Forces.
Well, public officials have this data, Liam. What are they doing now to try to reverse these trends?
Yeah, they talk a lot about safe storage. I spoke with public health experts, and safe storage would be things like storing firearms in a locked safe, storing ammunition in a locked safe as well, and storing those two, the gun and the ammunition, separately. Another thing that folks at the health department talk a lot about as well is destigmatizing talking about mental health and suicide, and trying to make it so people are more willing to talk about these things, to talk about mental health struggles. And another issue is education. So teaching people to look for potential signs of suicides. And some of those signs can be, an individual talking about being a burden, withdrawing from others, mood swings, sleeping more or sleeping less, using drugs or alcohol more frequently. Those are all things that experts say are warning signs. And, you know, if they see those, reach out to a person and try to connect them to resources.
One of the things I'm noticing here, Liam, though, is that these are steps that public health officials are talking about to try to reverse these trends. But are there other measures or perhaps laws that people say could help in this situation?
Yeah, well, you know, this is sometimes a bit of a touchy subject, right, when we talk about gun safety legislation. But there are advocates who say that there are more gun laws that we need to help prevent suicide deaths. Advocates say that waiting periods could be useful, as well as safe storage requirements. And those are both things that Emily Hackett, whose son Ryan died in 2020, would support and has said she would advocate for in the legislature.
Suicide can be very impulsive, and the means matter. Had Ryan maybe done a different means, he might still be here. If the moment was interrupted, he might still be here.
Yeah, that's a lot to contemplate for sure. Is there something maybe about the landscape for gun laws in Vermont that could be done here that could be changed?
Well, while we have seen gun laws passed in the last couple of years here in Vermont, it is still something that is fairly difficult for the legislature to do. Governor Scott actually vetoed a waiting period bill that passed in 2019. Though I should note, Scott did sign some gun legislation this year, and those laws went into effect on July 1st. The laws banned firearms from hospitals and also allowed medical providers to disclose information to police if they believed a patient was at risk of harming themselves or others with a firearm, and that would let police then get a court order to remove firearms temporarily from that person. So there are some things that have been proposed, like this new law that could help remove firearms from people who are in crisis. But what we've seen in the past is that it is hard to pass gun safety legislation in Vermont. And so it's kind of remains to be seen if efforts that advocates want to see pass, like a waiting period, if those will have any traction in the next legislative session.
Well, Liam, thank you so much for reporting on this really important topic. That's Vermont Public's Liam Elder Connors.
You're welcome, Mitch.
And if you or someone you know is considering suicide, you can contact the Crisis Text Line by texting VT to 741-741. And you can also call the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Lexi Krupp, and Brittany Patterson.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.